All righty. Happy Sunday to everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord. And I am grateful to pastor you today and to minister to so many people in various walks of life. Those that don't attend this church as a building in our community, but nonetheless, they get fed from this ministry. And I am honored. This morning, this message, I always like to give a little bit of a preview, and I don't like sounding repetitious, but sometimes it becomes that way because of the hour that we're living in and the messages. But this message this morning is going to be a very strong message. Again, I think it's an indictment to the church, but also need to make sure that I clarify some things in the beginning once you hear the title of this message, because it is a very pointed statement from the Lord. But let me read this to you, what the Lord gave to me as I prayed and got alone for this service. He said, "America, your funeral arrangements have been prepared. All is ready for your demise. You're the walking dead, but you don't realize it. You shun reality because there's no truth in you. How can you have life and light when you refuse the source of all life? Your nation will become a graveyard for the dead church, lukewarm and backslidden church, those clouds with no water. Those who honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I breathe life into this corpse, dead men's bones, and she refused to inhale. My breath of life, rather than choosing death and doctrines of devils to be her sustainable source." In other words, he said, I breathed into her, but she didn't want it. She would rather hold on to the doctrines of devils. The reason for the decaying church of America is to expose and reveal my true church, those hidden in obscurity, shunned by lack of popularity, and those who have been suffering silently. Western Christianity is dying, says your God, and the birthing of my end-time remnant bride is awakening to her final assignment. My final harvest. Come out from among the decaying church and live. Father, thank you for these words today, as strong as they are. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring us into revelatory knowledge, to bring us to a deeper understanding that will be an indelible mark in our hearts. That, Father God, we could, like Habakkuk, read the vision and run with it. Be like Nehemiah, Father God, and fulfill the task of building and being ready, Father God, doing what we need to do in this finest hour. We thank you for the Holy Ghost to help us. In Jesus' name, everybody everywhere said amen and amen. Again, very strong words from the Holy Spirit. Take them to the Lord and pray, ponder, meditate, and see what the Lord speaks to your heart. Many times all you need to do is hear words like these and there's confirmation. And I believe that's happening to many people. The title of this message is called The Death of Western Christianity. The Death of Western Christianity. And as I said in the beginning, I want to lay some foundational facts and clarity, because of the title being so shocking and the words that were spoken to me by the Holy Ghost are riveting. They're very strong nonetheless. When we speak of a funeral for a nation, for its demise, when we speak of decaying dead churches and all these different things, people get a misunderstanding and they misconstrued what you say and they twist things. Because that's just the way people are. Twisted people do twisted things. But I want from the onset and from the start to recognize and realize that the message that I'm going to give to you today is not that the church is dead, the universal church of Jesus Christ. No, it's far from that. It's alive. The true church is alive. The remnant church is alive. They're doing great and mighty exploits all across this people planet. Signs and wonders and miracles are taking place. Visitations of angels and of the Lord Jesus himself. Heaven touching earth and all these other things. They're manifesting. Because the work of God has never ended, because God never stops working. And he always has a people. And he always has a remnant. So the title of this message and the message I'm going to give to you in a clear, concise way is that Western Christianity, the way that we have done church, is dying in America because we're moving from dead men's bones. We're moving from popularity-driven churches and personalities, and we're going back to Jesus. We're going back to the Bible. We're going back to the Holy Ghost. We're shunning the false prophecies and the false prophets and the wannabes and the has-beens that are trying to distract us from the greatest hour and the greatest assignment, which is the harvest. And so as I begin my message, the death of Western Christianity, it has nothing to do with the death of the church, because you will always have the Babylonian church. You'll always have the wheat and you'll always have the tares. You'll always have the sheep and you'll always have the goats. You'll always have angels and blessings and saints, and you'll always have demons and imps. Come on, somebody. And those who work iniquity. So you always have these things. And so I begin my message with that clarity. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 4, imagine that. I was thinking Psalms, but Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm going to settle in this morning because I feel the preach inside of me. I'm joining Miguelito in Cuba right now, as I know he's ripping it up over there. 9 months without preaching in this church. I couldn't imagine. It's time to give birth. I said, it's time to give birth. I gave you time. Did you find Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 4. And so the backdrop is Judah, Israel, the Jewish people. They're in a situation where sin is abounding in an unprecedented manner. Remember, when I speak of Israel and I speak of the nation and I speak of the priesthood and all the different entrapments of religiosity, I look at it biblically as one, just as I do in America. And that's the way the Lord speaks to me concerning America, is because people try to diversitize and divide, if you will, the American politics from church. And I don't believe there's a separation. I believe that we have melted into one. Just look the way we act. Just look the way people get and how crazy they get with politics. Never has it been such a messed up situation in our country. Never have we wore our politics on our sleeves like our emotions and feelings today. And so looking at Israel, they were in great trouble because they had the covenant, they had the law, they had all of the things of religion of that day, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet they fell away into the depth of idolatry. They left covenant, they left truth, they left all of the things that were pure and right, and they pursued all the pagan nations around them. Kind of sounds like the church today. And so God began to send forth prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others to declare and decree to this backslidden people that judgment was nigh at the door. I believe that's what he's doing today with prophets and watchmen all across this nation who are prophesying Bible, not intel, not some secret email they got from somebody that you don't even know that you can't trace to find out if it's a true person or not. I'm talking about the Bible, prophesying what the Bible says. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear your source. I don't believe you have a source. Wish I had somebody help me. I don't believe that. I just don't. I don't believe they found you in obscurity and spoke to you. No, I don't believe you. Verse 1, are you there? If thou will return, O Israel. The word return should really be translated come back. If you will come back. If you will come back, O Israel. Remember this, that the promises of God hinge on the word if. The promises of God, they always swing open on the hinges of if. If you obey, if you follow me, if you'll do this, if you'll do the right thing, I'll bless you. See, we live in a society that we think by birthright we deserve all that we get and we should have the best and be on top and be top dog. We deserve it because we're Christians. Come on now. It's no different than those people, like I tell you on Sunday, that go out to eat and treat all the waitresses and waiters like dirt. Why? Because you got a bow tie and a hat on? Come on, somebody. And so we feel, I've been to many, many conferences with pastors and they always go out and they say, do I get a pastor's discount? Yeah, get in the back of the line. And pay like everybody else pays. Pastor's discount. Watch this. If thou return, O Israel, saith the Lord, if you'll just come back and turn unto me, return unto me. All you got to do is come back unto me. What I'm going to read to you is the prerequisites for revival. What I'm going to read to you today is the standard in which God told Judah, he told Israel, if you'll just do this thing, I'll bless you. Listen, I believe we are in the end times. We're in the last days. We're watching prophecy and scripture fulfilled before our very eyes. We're seeing amazing things take place. It's breathtaking. Sometimes it's shock and awe. The world is just spinning out of control, and there's no doubt about it. But we have to keep in mind and recognize and realize that God is sovereign and God is in control, and that if I am His and He is mine, I'm in the palm of His hand, and nobody can take me out. Nobody can hurt me. Nobody can harm me. For God be with me, and if God be with me, who could ever be against me? And he's telling Israel, even as we are in this hour, that if we'll just follow him and obey, that God will protect and provide for his people. Christian, Western Christianity in America, it's dying. It's showing its true colors. It's showing its lifelessness. It's showing how impotent it is. People are moving away from shallow Western Christianity. People are leaving the churches by the droves. There's reasons for it, because it's dead men's bones. And people are looking for life. Obviously, we have the apostates. Obviously, we have those that are backslidden and away from God. But there's many that are part of the true church, that God is drawing them to the fire of his glory. Watch this. Return unto me. Come to me. And if thou wilt put away thy abominations out of my sight. I'm reading to you a prerequisite. Get the junk out. Get the idolatry out. Get the things that keep you entrapped and keep you entangled and keep your focus away from God. That could be the YouTube. That could be false prophets, and that could be anything. Get these things out of your life. He said, if you'll do that, get these abominations out. Watch this. Out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. So what does that mean? He said, you won't go into captivity. Even though you may, as a people, go into captivity, captivity won't go into you. Listen to me now. What is happening today is this transformation in America for the remnant church is we're learning how to settle it and live in Babylon. We're learning how to deal with all the changing times and the prophetic pressures and the prophetic revelational truths that are happening right before our very eyes. We're learning how to live in Babylon while getting Babylon out of us. While getting Babylon out of us, getting it away from us, the abominations of it all, and saying, I won't partake. I won't partake of what you are offering. I won't be a part of your Babylonian churches. Come on now. There's a very powerful prophetic example that God has been giving us through Jeremiah over the past years. We've been preaching this. And we must get a hold of this thing. He said, put away the abominations out of my sight, and thou shalt not remove. Did they go into captivity? Absolutely. But captivity doesn't have to come inside of you. You don't have to feel like you're captive. You can be free. Because I'm telling you right now, if you don't learn how to be free in this Babylonian atmosphere that we're in right now, you will always be a prisoner. You will always be fearful. You will always be full of anxiety. You will always be a person of worry. You will always count your stuff and go into your little bunker and never find enough. You'll always worry. You're not going to make it to the end. You will have no faith and you will be shipwrecked. You better learn how to get faith in God. I said, you better learn how to get faith in God. How do you get faith in God, preacher? It's in the Bible in your hands right there. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Confess the Word of God. Let the Word of God live inside of you. If you don't work the Word never works. I said, if you don't work the Word never works for you. Feeling good this morning. We're going in to deeper captivity, but I'm not going to allow captivity to be in my soul. Say, Pastor, can you make that a little more clear? Absolutely. All the time during the pandemic, the church was paralyzed. Folks didn't want to go nowhere. Folks didn't want to do nothing. Folks didn't want to sow no money. They didn't want to do nothing with missions. And I understand there was all kinds of things happening. It was part of the press. It was part of the wine press. It was a part of the things that God was doing to bring forth out of the church some things that needed to come out. But the realization and revelation is this. There comes a time when you wake up and realize you're in Babylon and ain't nothing you can do about it. Get up, dust your britches off, and get to work. Put your hands on the plow and say, okay, that was nighttime. Today's day, and I got to work while it's yet light out. I'm talking to somebody that's listening to me right now. We need to act as though we're working in the daylight and we got things to do for God. The Father's coming home. I said, the Father's coming home. He's going to visit the church. He's going through the church. He's looking. He's looking for laborers. He's looking for those that have their hands upon the plow. Father, my hands are on the plow. Come on now. I'm not going to let it go. People got all freaked out. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because they're not here now. I gave you the statistics recently. 65% of the church left the church during the pandemic and they haven't come back. They done checked out. Now, I know they're in the pajamas on the sofa with a big giant 64-ounce big gulp soda diet because they want to be healthy. I don't use sugar. I use saccharin. Oh, okay. You're already halfway ready for the grave there. Save on the fluid. They already got in right there. Come on, church, help me out now. You know what's the truth? This is the finest hour. This is the greatest hour to be alive. This is the greatest opportunity to reach souls. This is the greatest day of harvest, and the church is still petrified, freaked out. But I'm telling you, and I'm prophesying to you through this message, that Western Christianity is dying, and that the remnant church, people that are hearing what I'm saying, and it's making the baby leap within them. It's making their hearts on fire. It's like on the road to Emmaus. They're on fire because of the words that are being said, and they recognize and realize the hour is late, and now's the time to win souls. Now's the time to reach. Now's the time to evangelize. And I'm going to tell you something, ready or not, here it comes. Well, I don't believe it's the end times. Ready or not, here it comes. I don't believe these are the last days. Ready or not, here it is. You better deal with it. You better buck underneath it, buckaroo, and get ready for it. Strap your little red cowboy hat on and let's go. Watch this, watch this. I got a long way to go. He said, thou shalt not be removed. You don't have to go into captivity. You don't have to go into captivity. You don't have to have your life in such a ball of fear and a mess that you're no earthly good. Snap out of it. Watch this. Verse 2. And thou shalt swear, this is the prerequisite, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness. In other words, you got to have a confession in your mouth that God liveth and he is all truthful, has all truth, is in judgment and in righteousness. Watch this now. This is what he's saying. He's saying you must have that confession. You must believe that God is who he said he is. He'll do what he's going to do. He's the same before the pandemic. He's the same during the pandemic. He's going to be the same after the pandemic, before the new pandemic comes. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God never changes. I said, God never changes. The church changes, but God never changes. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to get into the change. We need to get into the flow of what God is doing. And I'm telling you, it may not make sense to you right now, but the days are coming when it will be crystal clear to you of what God is doing inside the body of Christ. There's a change, a big change coming. The Western Christianity as we've known it is dying. You couldn't get me to go to some 6-foot icicle church. You couldn't put me in a mausoleum. Let me try that again. You couldn't drag me into one. I don't care how many free microwaves they were giving away, Flo. I ain't going. Free makeovers, and I could use several of them. Come on, somebody. You can try all that jazz. That's not going to draw me into the house of the Lord. Let me tell you what would draw me into the house of the Lord. Fire. I said fire and passion. People praying and loving God. People calling out to the name of Jehovah. People praying for the nations of the world. People that are lying down their lives and picking up the cross and carrying it. People that are saying, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters over in Iran. I'm praying for those in India. Oh God, I'm praying for the church in Poland and Belarus and all those other places in Europe that are at the brink of war. Lord, I'm praying, I'm praying. Instead of being so comfortable. So comfortable in the American obese church. Well, I'm just going to be honest today. I'm still in my introduction. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth and in judgment and righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him. And still say that, hey world, guess what? He is still a good God. That's what it means. He is still good. He's still awesome. He's still on his throne. He's still the reigning, ruling monarch of the universe. He's still sovereign. He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He's still the lover of men's souls. He still is. I bless the name of the Lord. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. No, we don't do that because we're in a pandemic. We don't do that now because Cheetos have gone up $1.25. Come on, Sarah. We upset now because our favorite whatever done gone up and we mad at God too. Well, honey, you probably don't need another Cheeto, to be quite honest with you. And I don't think they make diet Cheetos. Watch this. Nations shall bless themselves in him, and him shall they glory. Telling the whole world, you need to bless the Lord. Telling the world, hey, here's your problem. Your problem's not a lack of fuel and oil and food and wine and wheat and barley and grain. Your issue is you don't give God glory. Put down your pagan gods, India, and God will bless you. Come on, Nepal, put down your 300 million plus gods, and God will bless you. Learn how to bless the Lord. We don't do that. We talk about the 5 steps and the formula of faith, how to get a new car. God would rather have your soul prosperous than you riding a Lexus that's going to get repoed anyways. Oh man, I wish I had somebody here today to help me. See, this is where we got confused by the American prophets P-R-O-F-I-T-S, prophets, who tell us it's all about what glitters and all that is shiny, that represents God. That's not representing God. What's representing God is having peace with God, knowing that you lay your head down at night, that you've done your best you could by your neighbor. You haven't defrauded anybody. You love God with all your heart, your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you're doing your best to obey Him. You can do that living underneath the stars. Verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. What does that mean? It means your untilled ground, your hard ground. Proof positive of the fact that Western Christianity is dying in America is the fact that our ground is hard. Our hearts are hard. I know we're hard because every time somebody preaches Holy Ghost truth, we get offended by it. Cancel culture and panic rooms and triggering emotions where you got to go see your therapist because somebody said something to you that is contrary to your little conscience, instead of you having a backbone like a T-rail and letting it go like water down a duck's back and just say whatever and deal with it. Used to be a time when we'd say, if the shoe fits, wear it. Now you got to bring in a slipper so you don't hurt their toes. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I was raised in a church where they stomp on your toes. And there was a reason for it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's a reason for it. Because it helps you mature and helps you grow. It helps you recognize and realize that there are things in your life and things in my life we must get straight before God and keep straight, because if we don't exercise these things and we don't discipline and self-discipline ourselves, we find ourselves in great trouble. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Hardness. That's why we don't see altars full anymore. No, not real movements of God. It's because men's hearts are hardened. Pastors are hardened. Let me tell you why they're hardened. Because they're more interested in their hobbies and what they're going to do Monday morning as soon as they get away from you. That's right. I know what I'm talking about. I've talked to many, many pastors over the years, and the number one day they want to quit, it's a statistical fact, the number one day they want to quit, Flo, is Monday morning. They done had enough of the folk. Now, I understand there's dynamics to that, and there's reasons, and there's a whole lot of devils in the pew. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. They got pitchforks, and they trying to sacrifice the pastor. I understand that. But many of them are look across their congregation, look across their life, and they're not on TBN. They don't have their picture on Charisma Magazine. All the things that make successful preachers in America, they fall short of. And therefore, they become disgruntled and they become disruptive in their lives. They look for affairs and all these different things are happening because they're not satisfied by being a shepherd. David was satisfied. If you'd have just left him alone, he'd have played his little harp. He would have went out there and sang to the sheep and been happy all day long. Huh? Come on now. Just leave him alone. But God had a greater call and assignment, as we know. So break it up, man. Break up that, say, Pastor, how do you break that thing up? You go before an almighty God and you confess with your tongue. Your tongue becomes the plow of the heart. Your tongue becomes the plow of the heart, and you say, oh God, it is I'm the one that is hardened. Lord, I'm the one that's indifferent. Lord, I'm insensitive. I don't feel your presence anymore. I don't cry when I hear of abused children. I don't weep for what's happening in the foreign fields of missionaries. I don't cry when I hear of these Nigerian church people who were just killed. Two of them were just killed over in Nigeria that were kidnapped. I'm not interceding anymore for those that are in Haiti right now. Lord, I am hard-hearted. We don't confess that. Why? Because we're the seed of Abraham and we're blessed. We have all these different things that have taken our focus off of God. Break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Get away from the thorns. Get away from the things that choke up the life of God. We don't preach it anymore. We don't teach it anymore. We don't have pastors who are not only shepherds, but they're gardeners. He is the husbandman, John chapter 15. He's the one that cuts. And when he cuts, he does it for clearing. And when he clears, it increases. We don't know that. In fact, I had to learn that about one of our, was it a great myrtle tree or something we had at the house? I don't know what that thing's called. Old farmer said, you got to cut around it during the fall or winter. I don't know. Yeah, great myrtles. Trim them in the fall. I don't know. I just mow the yard. I kill grass. That's what I do. I run that over. And every ant pile that Georgia has ever produced. Some farmer's going to write to me and give me a whole thesis on it. And that's okay. But we're told if we would cut it, it would grow back better. So we cut it and made it look like a bald eagle. And you know what? It grew back better. I said it grew back better. We need to have the mindset of Western Christianity cut out of us. The way we think church should be done. The way we think church growth should be done. Listen, I'm more concerned about what's happening inside of you than what's happening around you. I'm more concerned what's happening to those that are part of this ministry than bringing busloads of people. God can do that. God can have shallow people. I'm not looking for shallow people. I'm looking for people that love God. Watch this. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Who does it? You. You circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. Talking again about the hardness of the flesh. Get rid of it. Say, God, I'm hardened to thee. Can I just share something with you? Many people don't have the emotional capacity, and I'm not telling you have to be emotional to be spiritual, but you can't help being spiritual and emotional at the same time. It touches you. There's something about when the fiery finger of God touches you. There's something about when compassion and passion hits you. You get moved and you do something. And I understand people struggle with that. But the point is this, if we would just come to God and say, God, allow your fiery finger to burn within me what you feel. Let me feel the breath of your heart. Let me feel what you feel. What are you saying? How do you look at foreign nations? How do you look at the plight of those that have been displaced and refugees? How do you feel about hunger in Africa? How do you feel about disease and sickness and malady and malfunction? How do you feel about war and famine? How do you feel, God? And let me tell you something. He'll be more than glad to release his feelings to you in order for you to intercede so that his will can be done on earth, because nothing happens unless the church brings it the paths through prayer. I don't have time to go over the principles of the spiritual principles. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and what God gave to the church and the ability and the dominion and the authority to release things on the earth. God will intervene when we intercede. You need to write that down. God will intervene when we intercede. And why there's not a lot of intervention right now is because the church is not interceding. The Western Christianity is dying in America. Western Christianity is dying in America. Why? There's people that are rising up and they're praying. I said there's people that are rising up and they're praying and they're interceding. They realize that the plight and the fight of the world has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. It has nothing to do with political parties. They recognize there's a devil loose, but they also recognize there's a King of Kings named Jesus Christ. Watch this. Circumcise your heart. Get that stuff out of you. Men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. He said, if you don't do this, I'm going to judge you. Let me try that again. To the hard-hearted, stiff-necked American church, if you don't do this, God will judge us and is judging us and will continue his judgment. Because the pressure you're feeling right now is nothing that's coming compared to what's coming. And I've told you, and we prophesied, and we've preached, and people get all upset. But I told you, pressure and more pressure and more pressure is coming. You don't like gas prices? Get ready. You don't like this or that? The price of your Cheetos? Get ready. You better learn how to deal with Babylon. You better learn how to deal with being in captivity. And there's only one way to do it. It's by faith. I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave his life for me. I live by faith. I'm not worried about paychecks. I'm not worried about any of these things. He said, you got to get rid of these things or I'm going to come. I'm going to deal with you because of the evil of your doings. Verse 5. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow you the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves or let us go into the defense cities. In other words, guess what, Judah? There is coming a war against you. There's a battle coming against you. Go to the places of defense. Prepare yourself and assemble. Here's the problem that I have and reason why the Lord has given us this message is that there has been an alarm that has gone throughout the nations of the earth with the pandemic and the wars and rumors of wars and the seals and all the different things of proving where we are in the last days, and people are not assembling themselves for battle. They're hunkering down for some future battle, but they're not getting into battle position now. They're not getting into the place to fight the good fight of faith. They're not reaching the nations of the world. They're not sowing. They're not doing anything they're supposed to do when an enemy is at the gate. Watch, I'm going to prove it to you. And that's exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ is doing today. Instead of preparing themselves and getting into battle, we are either crying, complaining, or hiding. Watch this. I'm telling you, Western Christianity is dying in America. I'm going to say it and say it and say it, even if preachers don't have the guts to say it. Western Christianity is dying in America. It's dying right here. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with what's going on today in most American churches. I want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't care about meeting Bishop Tutu. I don't care. I don't need to rub shoulders with nobody. Come on now. I have no concern about being on this program or that program. Come on. I won't be on God's program. Amen. I won't be on what God's doing. I want his glory. I want his presence. I want to see young children delivered out of the sex trafficking trade, both here in America and around the world. I want to see somebody that needs food fed. Whether it's around the block or across this people planet, I want to be doing the work of God before God comes back, before Jesus comes back, before he sets up his kingdom. Come on now. We're all going to hear it one day. What did you do with what I gave you? Come on, Faircloth, go through the fire. Let's see what your stuff does. Some will have wood and stubble. Is that right? It'll burn up. Some will have gold tried by fire. See, we don't believe that anymore. We don't teach that anymore in the church. No. We don't teach about judgment. We got it made in the shade because we got old pops up in heaven. Oh, yeah. That's exactly how people think in their attitude towards an almighty sovereign God. That's pops. That he understands me. We got something going on, me and pops. Oh, you're going to feel what a pop is. Watch this now. Declare you in Judah and publish in Jerusalem. Blow your trumpet, assemble yourselves, and let's go into the defense cities. Set up a standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. He said, I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to bring it to the house. I'm going to bring it. You ain't seen anything with pastors falling yet. You haven't seen anything with the church being degraded. The Western Christian church. You haven't seen anything as it metamorphosizes into that Babylonian whore that her call is. You haven't seen anything. You better get in the right lane with God. Watch this. Put that standard up. Verse 7. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. Jeremiah's warning. He said, listen, I'm telling you, there is a destroyer of the Gentiles. You know who he is, because he's destroyed kingdoms far greater than you, much stronger than you, much larger and more wealthy than you, Jerusalem and Judah and Israel. Guess what? He's coming and he's on his way. The story of the Gentiles on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and the city shall be laid waste without inhabitants. For this, gird up with sackcloth, lament and howl. Notice what he said. Because of what I'm telling you, you need to repent. Because of what I'm telling you, you need to show some sign of fear and reverence to an almighty God. And we have done the absolute opposite in America. No different than 9/11. No different than any national tragedy of recent days. We have not found our place of sackcloth and ashes. We have not found our place to repent. We have not found our place to say, God, forgive us of a people. Lord God, wash us clean and we will be made clean. Make us whole as the great physician. No, we haven't done that. We've gotten stronger in our pride. We've gotten stronger in our buildings and money and our power preachers and all these different things. Very few churches have called for prayer and fasting during these past almost 2 years. Very few. They would rather protest than call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to make it desolate. For this, gird up your sackcloth. With sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. See, if we really believed that, I think we would be people of intercession. I really do. I think we would be people of repentance if we really believed the judgment of God. But how can we, when the statistics have proven that Western Christianity is dying in America, when people no longer believe in the Holy Ghost, when people no longer give and tithe, when people no longer believe in the virgin birth by vast numbers, when people no longer believe the Bible, that they believe more in aliens than they do in God. And the statistics I have quoted can go on and on and on. How in the world do we think we're going to escape judgment from an almighty God? Verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princess, and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wander. I believe that day is coming. I believe the day is coming that all the false people, false prophets and leaders in the church who said there's no judgment coming, who don't believe in the end times, who believe we're going to be raptured out of here and everything's going to be wonderful, I believe they will be astonished. Don't become a part of that group. I said, don't become a part of that group to where you're astonished and you are blown off of your faith and you find yourself shipwrecked, because so many people that are waiting to get out of here Listen to me now. They're waiting to get out of here on some fantasy rapture. They're waiting to get out of here and some other means of transportation. They want to get off of this planet when God is telling us to get ready for the final harvest. He's telling us, I need you now. This is the time to be the strongest. This is the time of the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is the time when I'm going to equip you for bringing in my final harvest. Why would you want to quit now? You'll quit under the pressure because you're not ready. I said you'll quit under the pressure because you're not ready. Just like the 65% or so that left the church. You quit. Literally quit. Over my 25 plus years of ministry, my wife and I have seen so many people quit. It's astounding. How that we say we love God. And I'm not talking about just going to another church. You do what you think you need to do. I'm talking about just quit God. How do you quit God? How do you quit the sacrifice of Christ? I'm in it all the way. I said, I'm in it all the way. It came to pass in that day, saith the Lord, the heart of the king. All these guys are going to fail. Verse 10. Then said I, oh, Lord God. Surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Listen to what Jeremiah begins to complain. And he said, Lord, I don't get it. You told them there would be peace, but they're getting this sword to the soul. Now, Jeremiah wasn't wrong in questioning God because he didn't understand. But what Jeremiah didn't get is that there was conditions for them to repent and they didn't repent. So therefore, God didn't relent. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. We expect God in his amazing grace to just look the other way while we allow abominations and idolatry in our churches, while we allow all these different things to take place, and we turn the eye to all the different parts of the LGBTQ community. Everything else that it's just too many things to name. We're just allowing it to be a cesspool and just to overflow in our churches, and we're not doing anything to stop it. And we're harming the children and the generation that's coming. They will be a godless society. They will be a godless society if we do not intervene, or if God doesn't intervene. And I mean by whole. I don't mean by the percentage it already is now. I'm talking about by total. We'll have lost that generation. We're very close to it. We're not there, but we're very, very close to it. See this people. Watch verse 11. And at that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem. Notice how God just keeps going. Okay, Jeremiah, I heard you. A dry wind of the high places of the wilderness towards the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. In other words, this ain't going to be a little breeze. See, then here's the problem. We're expecting the cool breeze. Just a cool breeze. Lord, just breathe. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Let me tell you something. When God begins to breathe on you, everything changes. I said everything changes. Look everywhere God's ever breathed or ever blew from his nostrils. Look anywhere where the breath of life came. There was either life or destruction. Something happened. Looking for that breeze, little cool breeze. No, Lord says, I'm going to bring you the full wind. I'm going to bring you the full wind. I'm going to blow upon my church. I'm going to see what is mine and who will stand. Listen, this is why we're going through what we're going through. He's breathing on us. He's allowing to see who we are, and we are allowing to see who we are in him. And if you're in him, and if you're walking by faith, that breath will transform you. The transforming power of God is what we need today. That's why I say death to to Western Christianity is at hand. It's dying because the breath of God is breathing. It's breathing. That's why you feel the pressure you feel. And that's why you feel the longing that you feel. And that's why many of you all, you couldn't go somewhere else if you had to. I'm not talking about just from this place. I'm talking about from the words. I'm talking about from that spirit. You couldn't hang somewhere else. Get what I'm saying. I'm not talking about personal and myself. I'm talking about that spirit. I am being so attracted to what's happening in third world countries like I never have in my life. I'm being so drawn to what's happening in the real church, the frontline church, never before in my ministry, never before. I just feel the drawing. Why? Because that's where the real church is. This whole thing is fading. This whole Western experience, it's fading. I didn't say the church. I said the whole Western plastic banana, fake Babylonian pagan, dead men's bones church circus is dying. And it's dying for me. It's been dead a long time ago. But I feel the breath of God. I feel the breath of God. Can you? I feel it. I feel Him stirring in my heart. I feel for true, authentic, transparent Christianity where nobody has to be first. Nobody's got to have the biggest hat on or the widest dress. There's a lot of reasons why you have the whitest dress. See, y'all don't help me. See, we're not allowed to poke fun. People, oh, okay, your pastor, so he's always... Come on now. It's the truth. It's the truth. We find ourselves so more interested in ourselves and making God, our belly, our God, than we do pursuing the God of the universe. We really do. We spend more time on us and luxury and being pampered. I'm going to start a new organization called the Pampered Christian. Yeah. Yeah, all the churches, all the chairs inside the churches are going to be like a beauty salon chair. Yeah. Help me, Sarah. We can design this together. You just come in, sit down. We'll do your hair. We'll do your feet and your hands. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Because you're the glorious church. I mean, Pastor, I can't have dirt underneath my fingernails. I got to get right. Remember, I'm the bride. Got to get ready. No, you're a warrior bride. I said, you're a fighting bride. You're a working bride. Pampered Christianity. That's why I say what I say, because I love seeing emotion. I can't believe he talks that way. Grow up, man. It's the truth.
Right.
It is the truth. Yeah. And believe me, I have a mirror too. I don't have a skinny mirror. Just, you didn't have to laugh like that, sister. Verse 12. And even a full wind. I can go home and get treated that way. A full wind from these places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Watch verse 13. Behold, he shall come up as clouds. Who's he talking about? Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to catch this. Don't miss this point. Don't miss this point. In these last few minutes, don't miss this. Watch. But he, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, shall come up as clouds in his chariots and as a whirlwind, his horses as swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Now listen to me, we're not waiting for Nebuchadnezzar to come here, he's gone. What I'm telling you prophetically is this, is that Babylon is here destroying the church and we let Babylon in. Just like they're going to let future, of course, of history now, but they let in Nebuchadnezzar. They had no choice because he came and he destroyed them. But the same thing's happening to the church in America. We've allowed Babylon to come in, and Babylon has destroyed us from within. That's why Western Christianity is dead, dying in America. It is dying in America. It's because Babylonian cancer has eaten the life out of it. Yes, sir. Babylon is destroying the church. The Constantine paganism in our church, mixing politics and patriotism and all these other things, mixing all these ideals together, saying this is what the church is, being totally exclusive from what the Bible tells us what the church is, totally exclusive from what the first church was, and we say this is the way it should be in this hour, and our pastors are leading us astray. You want to know what the church looks like? Go to the book of Acts, the first church. I said, you want to see what it's supposed to be in the last days? Go to the book of Revelation and find those who are martyred for their faith. Find those that realize and recognize that they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. That's where you're going to find the church. That's where you're going to find the true triumphant church. But you won't hear that this morning. You're not going to find that on your little gospel cube. That probably won't be one of the verses you pull out of your manna for the day Bible verse. But he's coming. He's going to come in like a whirlwind. Verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Look what he said. How long are you going to allow this stuff to live inside your heart? How long are we going to let this be, church? How long are we going to allow all these agendas of the world stay inside of our churches? How long are you going to sit in a church and listen to somebody preach to you New Age philosophies and doctrines of devils? How long are you going to allow this to penetrate your mind and the shows that you watch and the music that you listen to and all the things that Babylon has to offer? How long are you going to let lodge in you? You need to get it out. I said you need to get it out. You need to be cleansed. Verse 16. Make mention of the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers for the far country and give out their voices against the cities of Judah. As lepers of a field are they against her round about, because she has been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. And he says, I'm going to let watchers come in. They already know the weaknesses. Verse 18, by the way, in their doings, they have procured these things unto thee. In other words, you did it. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. So how do I know the true church? The true church hears the trumpet of war. The true church knows what time it is. The true church laments. The true church repents and intercedes and intervenes and wants to be a part of conflict and wants to stand up for those who are speechless. They can't talk. They don't have a voice. Whoever they are, to be an advocate. That's what the true church should be doing right now. Instead of saying, I want it my way. I want more. I need more. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't hoard two more cans this week because I can't afford it. Oh, you think it's, you know it's the truth. You ought to quit hoarding and start helping. Let me try that again. You ought to stop hoarding and start helping. I'm not going back on what I've taught you. You should prepare. But there's a difference between preparing and hoarding. Hoarding has everything to do with fear. Preparing has everything to do with faith. Big difference. Because when you prepare, you have no problem to share. I ain't got time for the rhymes, but they're truthful. Destruction upon destruction, verse 20, is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. And suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are stottish children. It means foolish. They're just foolish children. and they have no understandings. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. In other words, you're more wise in the ways of the world than we are for Scripture. You will not believe how many people are scripturally ignorant in America today, but say that they're believers, and you don't even know the Bible. You know the ways of the world. You can name me all the top teams in college football right now. You could give me who's running for Heisman. You can tell me all the greatest singers and their top chart hits. You could tell me all the trivia of Hollywood, but you can't quote Scripture because you don't know the Bible. And you don't know the God of the Bible. And I'm talking to most pastors. Verse 23, I'm closing. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. He's given a comparison to the beginning of creation with what he sees. This is Jeremiah, an eyewitness account of the destruction. Think about that. And I beheld the mountains, lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and the cities thereof were broken down to the presence of the Lord. Watch this as I close. Go to verse 29. Here's what I want you to see. Very shocking scripture and parallel to the Western Christianity in America. Verse 29, the whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. And they shall go into the thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. This is absolutely mind-blowing what I'm fixing to read to you. Verse 30. Listen to this. Right in the middle of war, right in the middle of terror, right in the middle of judgment, the church plays the whore. Verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, what will you do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thy deckest with the ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, and they shall seek thy life. In other words, they tried to play the whore to appease the armies that were coming in, no different than the Western Christianity today tries to appease our enemies and invites them in through seduction and being seduced, only to find out that is your destruction. Instead of standing up and rebuking and resisting the devil, we entice. And we use all the glitter and all the entrapments of the world. And we find ourselves deeper and deeper in our idolatry. For I heard a voice of a woman as in travail, in anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself and spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. In my closing, let me read you another translation. It goes like this. I hear the woman cry with anguish as she gives birth to her first child. My people Zion gasp for breath. They stretch out their hands and say, how horrible is it for us? My life is extinguished by the presence of murderers. The church is dying. The Christian, Western Christianity is dying in America. That whole theme, the whole Babylonian pagan attraction is dying. Again, I believe the remnant is alive. I believe God has a plan. I believe our greatest days are before us. The greatest harvest ever known to humanity is coming. God's not going to allow this thing to end in defeat. That's not how the book is written. It's written in victory, because it's been written in blood. If you're watching me today and you've never experienced forgiveness through that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, today's a day to make it right. Again, as I've said many, many times, you're not joining a church or organization. you're giving your life to Christ, who gave his life for you because he loves you. He went to hell for you so he wouldn't go to heaven without you. You can make that decision today by asking him to forgive you and to come into your heart. If you're backslidden, you've been listening to this message, and you're part of that whole Western Christianity, come on, get out of these churches. Get out of the Babylonian churches that are no more than Tupperware parties and Avon parties and things that just make you feel good, instead of having a relationship with God and going after the things of the Lord in these last days. Come on, get out of that backslidden condition and give your life to Christ in a greater measure. Father, thank you for this message today. I pray it goes far and wide for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we believe it and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you for Revelation Road. And don't forget, Monday night, Global Harvest Prayer, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live stream. Love you.